I'm Austin.
And I'm Cloud.
And this is...
Today's movie is Poltergeist. Poltergeist is a 2015 supernatural horror remake film directed by Gil Keenan, starring Sam Rockwell, Rosemary DeWitt, Jared Harris, and Jane Addams. How about that synopsis?
Well, a family moves into a house, supposedly already built on a replaced cemetery, and then things start happening, and then like a dude shows up. And he's like, "You got poltergeists. You should probably fix this." I'm like, "But we need our daughter back." And he's like, "Yeah, okay, grab some rope." And then the kid's just like, "Well, I'm gonna be useful now." And then saves his sister. And then they move.
These kids are elitist.
Elitist as hell. But before we even get started, I do want to share that while not all remakes are bad, and almost inherently the original is better, this is one of the cases where if you just want to watch Poltergeist, watch the original.
Well,
just watch it.
I mean, see, this is an awkward case of that we didn't like the original as much as its fame should imply we should.
Yeah.
Either, so.
And that it is still way better than this one.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, there are things that I like, and we'll talk about those too. But like, I guess if you're gonna pick one, although if you're already here, hopefully you've already you've already watched it, because that's sort of this like the stro the sh- this. The structure of the show is that we do a synopsis, but that's more just like a leftover from that. I like cribbed half the intro format from the Yeah, It's That Bad podcast, which is what kind of started this whole thing. But we really expect you to have kind of watched it.
I mean, it helps you understand why we end up being upset half the time.
Well, not even just what it's like. We're just like, and this and that. I remember what that looked like. And it's like, no, I don't. I didn't watch it. It's like, well, you should have. So I did this thing way back that I did. I released it for the like when the 100th episode came out, but because I never did it originally. But I did this thing that was going to be this like pre like, you know, couple of minute thing that was going to come out before each episode. And I only ever made that one, and then I didn't even put it out until just being like, hey, or this old thing that I made back at the beginning, and now that we're, you know, sort of like celebrating with the second Anchorman movie and stuff, that I'll just go ahead and put it here. And I don't remember if I released it separately or if it's just at the end of the Anchorman 2 episode or what, but it's there somewhere where I said like something about how you better have watched because we're not explaining anything, which is not necessarily true because we explain a little bit, but we still kind of expect you to watch. Although if you want to like to listen to a weird anomaly of a thing that we really only did once, go and listen to the Quick and the Dead episode, because in that I was trying this like, what if we actually do like a real proper like segment of the show that's a synopsis, so in case you haven't watched it, you'll kind of know everything that happened before we talk about it. And so like I wrote this whole thing and read it, and it's just me and that part of it, and it's really weird, and we only did it that one time.
Well, there's also that weird episode for what is it, Sunrise or whatever, the
Sunshine,
the Sun, not Sunshine, the see, now that I'm trying to say his name, unfortunately starring Pierce Brosnan.
Oh,
like where we actually like you're supposed to take the audio and listen to the audio at the same time you watch the movie.
Oh, the listen along. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just After the Sunset. After the Sunset.
Thank you. After the Sunset. At least I remembered the sun.
We did Sunshine too, further back. But yes. But yeah, so you unfortunately probably can't profit is not the right word. Heed this, like, if you're only going to watch one, watch the first one, because you probably already spent the time watching both if you're following along. So
yeah,
sorry about that, I guess. But I don't know. I don't know if you knew or not, because I hadn't watched this before this. I don't know if you had. So if you knew what we were getting to.
No, I had not seen this one at all.
Okay, so, so you were like, this thing sucks. Let's check it out. Make everybody watch it. Not that it necessarily sucks, because we're not there yet, but it's lesser than a thing that we already didn't like very much. So there you go. But the kids are so elitist. Like, I know that he works for, like, or worked for
worked,
John Deere Corporate.
Tense.
I mean, technically he's laid off, not fired, so he could go back, but that's not generally what happens when people get laid off.
Well, before you even talk about the kids, because I need like a minute, to be pissed off that the fact that they just were like, hey, maybe you should feel bad for the family because the dad was laid off and the mom's not working because she's trying to write a book. But she can't seem to write this book because she's also worried. And he can't seem to get a job and she wants to work, but he won't let her work. And we have to have this as some kind of important dynamic that doesn't actually affect the story in any kind of way that moves it along. Other than here, feel bad for these people, and I don't feel bad. It wasn't needed. Like, hey, you didn't have to have him be a real estate agent. That's cool. But, like, don't try to put this kind of stuff on us. It just makes me angry, and I don't like these people. And then it follows up with, now that he doesn't have a job, he's going to use his credit cards that don't work to buy some shit. And he's just like, hey, maybe we should take it. Like, hey, here's your drone, son. Here's you an iPhone 5C. I don't even remember what he gave to the little girl. But, like, that's, like, why? Why are you putting yourself further in this kind of hole? You're buying a brand new house. You have no income. And then you're just going to do this. All that does is make me angry. It's like being a bad parent. The movie would have been fine without it. And if they wanted to keep the drone, the kid could have simply have carried it over from where they lived previously for whatever reason. And why couldn't she have already had a phone? Like, you did not.
She did have a phone.
Like, didn't she have, like, a junky phone? And then
no.
He gives her the 5C?
No, she had a phone. I mean, it was probably, like, a year old or whatever. But it was, like, it was one of the first casualties of the poltergeist electricity thing. It's like, she comes in and she's like, but you fried my phone. Like, you touched my phone. And he's like, I didn't touch your phone. And she's like, well, how did it get fried then? But it's the, like, the dead electricity, whatever it is that, however this works, which they have a little bit of a problem. I'm going to come back to the kids, but since we're here, they do have a little bit of a problem with the sympathy thing, because in the original one, he worked for the company that built the subdivision that and moved or didn't move the graves. But he didn't know until, like, later. And so he's kind of getting blamed by the ghosts and whatever, even though it's not really his fault, but it's kind of his fault, but it's not because they didn't tell him these things.
Yeah.
And so we don't have that. He doesn't have any connection to the neighborhood at all. And so I guess they felt like, well, we're supposed to feel bad because, like, he's deep in this and he didn't. It's not fair because he didn't know, but he's getting blamed anyway. Sort of I have something else in the, like, line of that to talk about, which I guess I always say we'll come back to that later and then I forget. So I'll just go ahead and say this is kind of a, like, not fault is fault swap with the way that the original Elm Street movie and the remake was, and the way the original this was and the way it is now, where it's like, in this, there's no fault at all of any of the people that are being haunted, because they just happen to move into a house that happens to be built where there used to be graves.
But they also know that it was, wink, wink, supposed to be.
Well, they know after. They know what they find out at the dinner party.
Yeah.
But in the original, Elm Street movie, it's not the kid's fault at all. It's the parents' fault, but they're the ones that are being punished by Freddy for some reason. And in the remake, it's not the parents' fault. Like, the parents are the ones that did the murdering, but it is actually the kids that lied, but also didn't lie, and still caused the thing, because either it was true or it wasn't true, but they're still the ones that did the snitching that led to the murdering. And in this, they don't have any connection, but in the original one, they do. And so it's this, like, we're going to switch the fault when we remake things, but we're going to switch it the other way. But the kids, they're like, they're moving into this house, and they're just complaining. And, like, first off, she complains that there's power lines nearby, which, sure, there's, like, four rows of high-tension wires, you know, real transmission lines, not just neighborhood lines. But every house has power lines close to it of at least some amount. Because otherwise, how are you going to charge your stupid phone that's, like, not a luxury item, that's a necessity, and the, like, multiple Apple devices other than the phones that they have scattered about the house?
Well, like, at first I thought she was just trying to be, like, I'm going to tell, like, a mean joke just because I'm angry and I don't want to move. But, because as the thing is, like, all these power lines, I can feel the tumors growing. When...
Which she does say to the son, to the brother, that it is a joke.
Yeah, but then it's just like, it doesn't really feel like a joke as the movie continues. No. Because that's just her attitude throughout the entire
thing.
Yeah, because
she has an attitude. But they all have it. I mean, I guess the youngest one doesn't really have an attitude. She just has the, I'm not scared of things that like a five-year-old should totally be scared of, the way that the original daughter was. But it looks like a decent, at least, like, it's... It looks more expensive than any house I've ever lived in.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like the subdivision, like, it's not like how in Back to the Future where it's like the Lion Estates were this, like, luxury development when they were being built in the 50s, and then 20 years later there it's all, like, dumpy and graffitied and sad and terrible. It's not like that. Like, it still looks like a reasonable neighborhood. And she's like, the malls are boarded up, and it's just
what,
like, I'm
malls?
Embarrassed to live here. Which, we actually see the mall, or at least a mall, later when he goes to buy the squirrel trap. And we don't know that he's in a mall, we just think he's in a hardware store. But then when he has the realization, like, I discovered I have a credit card that isn't maxed out yet, so let me work on that. We see in, like, the rearview mirror the sign of the... It says name and mall, and I can't remember the name of the, like, subdivision name. It's not boarded up. There's a mall that's not boarded up, so she's exaggerating on top of her attitude, even. But the other thing that's super, super early is it's really hard to read the title.
Yeah.
Like, it's in the grass underneath the power lines, and it's not that much different a color of grass than the grass that's around it, and it's not super obvious that it is the title. And I guess this is, I'm trying to remember other things that were like this, because there were other things. I remember, what was it? There's a movie where all of the titles are, like, a long, like, buildings. You know, like New York City building, you know, tall buildings. And I can't remember what it is, but I feel like it's something around this time, or maybe a couple of years earlier.
Hmm.
And there was, you know, this is late. Like, there was this trend that was going on with that even, like, films when we were in college were, like, falling subject to, where the title would be, like, integrated into objects or environment or... not even just titles, but, like, credits and things, the opening titles and credits. And this is something that's doing that too. And, you know, the title, seeing the title on screen in the beginning is not that important. A lot of times you don't even see that in movies anymore. They either wait till the end because they're not doing opening credits, or maybe it'll just be the title and they'll kind of structure it like a TV show where there's a scene and then there's a title. Just kind of the way that the Marvel movies do it. And it's not a big deal, but it was just like, that's kind of hard to see. I'm not sure if that was the best choice, if you were going to put the title here at all. But it's a nicer house than they seem to be giving it credit for.
Well, go ahead and make your comments about the kids, Because I want to see if you're going to say the same stuff I'm thinking about.
Well, that's basic. I mean, except for, the, you know, the daughter being millennial and needing her phone and stuff. It's the, like, this house is a dump when it isn't.
Yeah.
And like, I need, like, drones and stuff to be happy. And
well, it kind of interests me based off of, I don't like the son. And I don't like the son because I feel that the character that they wrote him for is very, very fake. And he seems...
Well, he's very scared of almost literally everything for a reason we never discover. Well, there's hinting of the lost in the mall thing, which I guess that mall wasn't boarded up either, although being lost in a boarded up mall would be scarier than being lost in a regular mall. But the dad seems to think that that's not really true. But that's still not enough for him to be scared of existing the way that he seems to be at this point.
Because like, he looks at the tree before they even go inside the house, and like he doesn't really do much. Like that's the problem, is he doesn't really do much, and not a lot directly happens until events actually push forward. And so we get like the little bits, and we hear like a sound, and then he explores the closet, and then he pulls the thing, and it makes the big mess. And then he panics and all this other kind of jazz. But I don't like his character traits. That's not consistent. Because he's either too afraid to do anything, or he's being like loud and obnoxious trying to get everyone's attention. And there doesn't seem to be like a consistency to it, where it's like, hey, things are going bad and I'm always like, I guess you'd say like active, like being proactive about it. Compared to, I'm terrified and I'm going to try to avoid all bad situations anyways. It's so random that you don't know what's going to happen, and it feels like they do it this way just so they can have whatever scene they want play out the way they want it to, and then just kind of have him just sprinkled in there. Like, okay, well, here, we're just going to put him here, and then I'm going to write this line, and that's what's going to happen, and then we can move on to the next scene. Like, and I don't like that. Like, the character isn't pushing the scene. The character simply in the scene. Like the tree thing, him being upset about the tree. Like we know, yeah, the tree is going to attack him. But
they don't.
But like in realisticness, he has the best room in the house. Like as the oldest child, I probably would have dominated whatever I could have and been like, no, I claim this space. Because even from the perspectives of the rooms that we see, not only is it like the coolest, it's the largest. Because it takes up...
Yeah, because it's like the whole top of the house.
Yeah, it is like almost the entire top of the house. And then it's just like the two girls, like their rooms are much smaller via comparison. Now, granted, we don't spend a lot of time in them because we do get the smallest, the youngest, because we have to deal with her closet. Mm-hmm, but everything is so open and it feels like they've just moved the bed out of the way.
And she has nothing in her closet.
No.
The youngest. Like they open it.
And it's just empty.
And it's empty.
Yeah.
Like, because they go to check it out, and she's like, there's something in the closet, or he says there's something in the closet, and there's nothing in the closet. It's not just she's not in the closet anymore. There's nothing. And they don't seem like, hey, what happened to all the stuff that used to be in here? So it seems like nothing in the closet is a normal state of things.
Well, I guess, like, they have just moved in. Maybe they just haven't put stuff in the closet
there's
yet.
There's not, like, stacks of boxes or anything sitting around that we see. Like, she's got toys, right? She's, like, 5 years old.
Yeah. Well, like, that's the weird thing is because... Excuse me.
I guess she doesn't because she seems to spend lots of time just, like, pushing sticks into the ground and, like, playing with the ghosts and stuff. And so she doesn't need toys. But...
Now, I did like her playing with the stick, like... Because we don't have the whole thing like, here, watch this, and like the kids seem to be interacting with the ghosts in the kitchen and all that kind of, like we don't get as much of that.
Yeah.
And so like the tiny bits we do with the little girl playing outside and them finding the bone and all that, I kind of felt that was a fair exchange. You know, here's your little something cute to go with this little thing that was cute, and we swapped it out. I'm like, okay, I'll deal. But what it looks like is they removed her bed to make the room feel larger when they had to do all the closet stuff.
Yeah.
And then when they were filming from the closet, it looked like they just put her bed back or something that looked smaller. You know, that whole depth of field kind of stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Field of depth, whatever.
No, it was right the first time.
But like with that, and it's like it. I don't know if it's the same set and with the removable parts for filming it or what, but that's what it felt like. It felt like, hey, we're just going to remove the bed so we can have the camera coming through the entrance door, pointing at the closet. And then here we're in the closet looking into the rest of the room. The daughter using the phone to hear the ghosts, zombies? What? Like, where did the zombie thing come from? Like, that's what is weird, because it's like, is it supposed to be really there? Is it not supposed to be really there? Did the mud actually come? Because I don't remember them going back to the mud in the basement.
No, I mean, she says she was trapped in the basement, but then by then other things are already happening, and so they don't go back and check it out.
The lone zombie in the basement.
But there, well, it does seem to be a mix of things, where sometimes it seems almost like it's a Pennywise kind of thing, where it's like, you see a thing, but other people wouldn't see the thing, and then, like, you realize it didn't actually happen after a minute, and you look around, and, like, there's no evidence of what just happened that was scary.
Yeah.
But then sometimes it's not like that. Sometimes something really happens, like the tree attacks the house.
Or the chair just flings across the bedroom.
Did you get that in slow-mo?
Your time-lapse. I don't like the music at the beginning of the movie.
Music at the beginning of the
movie. Because they really lather on, like, hey, this is a horror movie that's supposed to be spooky. Nothing is happening.
Spookiness, like, incoming.
Like,
we've complained about that before in,
like,
movies.
It's nice and happy, and look, it's the clean house, and we're all moving in, and, you know, I'm not employed, but, you know, I'm going to be looking, you know, I'm trying to get stuff. My kids seem to be unhappy that they're moving. I don't know why they're moving to begin with, but whatever. And it's just like, duh. Like, why is
complained about that before. Music in movies being frightening before anything, like tipping off that something frightening is happening. Where if you didn't know that this was supposed to be a horror movie, you would be confused as to why this music is here, where it doesn't seem like anything is scary or anything is even wrong, because it's just, hey, look, a neighborhood. But yeah, it is just like heavy, frightening music.
If it's one of I keep thinking of, like, the scene in Family Guy when Peter has his own, like, theme music that plays everywhere he goes and everyone can hear it. And it's just like you pull into a neighborhood and that music starts playing, you just fucking leave. Nope, I'm gone.
I am confused as to exactly what their situation is, because, like, I understand. Okay, so he lost his job. And she didn't have a job. And so they have to live somewhere not as expensive, I guess. But I guess that means that they didn't own their house before. Because if they did, then they would have owned their house that was presumably more expensive than the one that they're moving into now. And they would have sold the house and had more money than they're spending to buy. It also seems weird to buy a house when you don't have a job or money, rather than, like, renting a house or getting an apartment or something for a time, and, you know, not spending very much money until you have some more money.
That's a belt.
It doesn't make any sense to buy a house when you've just become unemployed.
Yeah.
It's a weird circumstance. So
I'll turn on my own nightlight before I go to bed. You know, because, like, I'll admit it, I had a nightlight when I was a kid. I didn't like being in the dark. Mostly because as I was younger growing up, I didn't have a nightstand. So there was no lamp that I could have just turned on.
Uh-huh.
And so there's my bed kind of just up against the wall. And the only light that I actively had would be the light on the ceiling. And so, yeah, I had a nightlight. And I could have just turned it on myself.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I am older, I have a nightstand and I have two lamps on my nightstand. And now that now thanks to technology, both of those lamps have, like, all of these different timers set on them. So they turn on and off at different times on different days, and they have different colors and stuff. And I'm just thinking, kid, You knew you were going to bed. You could have just turned it on yourself. It's just a switch.
I don't think it was in the room. Didn't it look like she kind of ran in and plugged it in rather than turning it on? I think maybe it's like, oh, we forgot to put the nightlight in the new room.
But then that would be that it's the first night.
I think it is the first night.
But it already looks like they've already moved everything in. And yeah. I don't remember seeing any movers.
Well, somebody besides Sam Rockwell was backing the moving truck into the mailbox. And so I guess maybe they did have movers, which
didn't
is
they
also...
hit the mailbox?
They did hit the mailbox, which then they bookend at the end for some... I don't know what it bookends exactly.
Yeah,
I guess it's just dumb. Like, we moved in, we destroyed the mailbox. We moved out, we destroyed the mailbox. I don't see any, like, thematic meaning or metaphor or anything that comes from
bad driving
the mailbox. Yeah, but it's not even the same person bad driving. It's not like it's a character trait that he has that he drives badly into mailboxes.
No, just bad. It's not even just the bad same driving. Person. That's a general kind of thing. No, I didn't. Okay, so if it wasn't there, I can understand. But watching it, it looked like it was already there, and she was just trying to turn it on. Like, that's what it looked like. I could be wrong, but that's what it looked like.
I'm not sure. It was dark. Yeah. So it was hard to tell.
Like, what is this?
Exactly. But, well, okay. So I have just have a couple of silly things here that I want to get out of the way before we get too deep and they go past. Because they're both early. And one of them, I guess, is a little bit of a discussion that maybe we can... Oh, I was going to say, though, about the nightlights. Like, I remember having a couple of nightlights that had switches. But mostly I remember having ones that, like, came on when the lights went off. So you didn't even have to turn them on.
Yeah, I didn't have those.
So he should have one of those if he's going to be this. And this is 20, you know, like, when I had nightlights, it was, like, 1994. You know, this is 2015. Like, we have, it's not a big deal to have an electric eye on something anymore. But, so... The son walks in panicking about, I don't even remember what, because he does it so much.
That is the stuff that fell out of the closet.
When they're about to do it.
I'm going to take off my pants.
And so, like, he has his pants, like, they're off, but they're, like, around his ankles. So he can just pull them back up. But he pulls them back up, and he buttons them, and he puts the belt on, and then he zips. And that seemed unusual to me because I wanted to ask, like,
zip button belt.
You zip first.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's like another alternate thing. Because, like, I button first because, like, it holds the zipper close together and it's easier to zip. Well, I always zip before, like, everything is done before belting because belting is like the last step.
Yeah. It depends on the pants. There's some pants that I do need to button first and then I'll zip. But a lot of the times, like, my pants, I guess you'd say, are loose enough that as I pull them up, I can just zip and it's not even an issue.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, I'm trying to think. I feel like maybe like my rodeo jeans, like they fit kind of closer. And so I think maybe I zip those first before buttoning because it's harder and, like, they're stiff and starched and stuff. So it's harder to get, like, to get into the zipper if it's already closed. So maybe sometimes I do zip first, but I never belt before zip.
Yeah,
like,
never.
I was just like, who are you? What is this?
Wait a minute. I wonder. Who are you?
Who are these people? I do wonder if maybe that's just how Sam Rockwell puts his pants on. Because that seems like an awfully specific thing to direct someone
maybe
exactly
he forgot
how to do.
Zip, and then
maybe,
like,
he did
shit.
And he's like, oh, wait, I forgot. And he just does it. I mean, and you know, it's a stressful situation. The kids just caught you with your pants down.
Ha ha! Literally!
And about to do it, but it was just like
wearing
who,
her sad underwear.
But you know, like, everybody, her sad underwear is, which I don't, you know, I've never considered underwear to be happy or sad on either me or other people. But
unless there's a sad face on it specifically, like, I don't see underwear
which,
as an emotion.
I mean, I liked all of his sort of metaphoring about, like, his underwear is happy, which we're supposed to take to mean, like, he's ready to do it. And I did like the, like, entendre that was happening. And mostly because, now I'm going to say this carefully, because I was going to say Sam Rockwell is very likable, but I don't like him in, and it's been a long time since we've brought this up, but I have to bring up Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri here. Because I don't like him in that. because I don't like the character in that. And he's supposed to be an unlikable character, I think, except some people seem to feel otherwise because they're on board with the like murdery, revengey kind of stuff that that the movie may be taken to advocate if that's your state of mind already. And so he plays a very unlikable character in that, and he's very unlikable, but when he's not playing an unlikable character, he's generally very likable as a character and just as an actor and as a presence, which being that that he's, I mean, he's not playing the same character from the original one, but it makes sense, I guess, to have him be at least supposedly sort of likable. I, you know, you hate the family generally, in this case, but
like, I think the first half of the movie, I'm okay with the mom. The second half of the movie, I'm more okay with the older sister.
Yeah, I guess.
Because it's like, as the movie kind of progresses and their specific character traits kind of get shown, their attitudes towards these events shift, and like how they're behaving and how they act, I'm like, I'm more okay with this. And so like at the beginning of the movie, the mom isn't really doing anything that I would say, well, this is dumb, this is bad, like, this is not being smart in some regard. Like, I think it has a pass. And I'll give her props on even saying, we need to return these things. Like, she understands the situation they're in. She sees the mistake that he has made and is trying to, like, no, we should fix this. And so yeah. I'm gonna give her some credit there. And I know it's not her fault because, you know, this is her child. But, like, her kind of losing her mind portion where it's just like, this is my child and you got to go in there and all this kind of business. Like, at this point, if it happened earlier in the movie, whenever like some of these events started and like the portal opened and she's going to go in, like, I felt like that would have been more okay for that, but it's a little late in the movie for her actions. And like, there's already a plan in place. Like, just follow the plan. Like, follow the plan. We'll save your daughter and then we'll go about your business because it'll be over with. But now it's like, I don't want to follow the plan. I got to do this. I got to save. Like, no, like, stop. Uh-huh. And it's those kinds of actions where it's like, no one else is doing this. It's just her. And so, like, the father has to go get out of his rut to get her to calm down. And they do give us that line where it's like, hey, if I'm like everything's messed up, you're supposed to say everything will be all right. And then he does do it. So it's like, okay, well, that's a little bit of character redemption, but it had to be forced. Like, we had to actually have her tell him to do it, and then he had to do it later.
Yeah.
You know? It'd be different if she was having a fit, and he's like, that's my job as your husband, is whenever you feel that nothing's going to be all right, I'm here to reassure you everything will be all right. And then he does it again. I'm like, hey, there you go. Like, that's a consistency. Like, you as a person are being consistent in your behavior, like most people seem to be. The daughter liking the ghost dude. This house is clean.
Yeah, which he doesn't.
My favorite part.
He doesn't even say it right. Like, he says he's not going to say it, but then he doesn't even get the phrasing of his own quotation right. No. Like, he says the, not this, and it's like, try a little bit. I mean, it also happens to not be true, but.
Well,
but the other silly thing is that apparently his brother has like 20 cockatoos that he lives with in his trailer. And like, the only thing that I could think when that was happening was,
that's a shitload of
cockatoos.
Like, that hurt. I'm feeling that one.
Like, really? I mean, 20 cockatoos.
So many cockatoos.
So many.
All right.
So, okay, go ahead.
I like Jared Harris.
Who is that?
That's the dude. I'm the ghost guy. This house is clean.
Yeah.
So clean. I don't know. Like, I kind of feel these words work. The
What was the room at the college called? Paranormal Activity movie not knockoff thing?
I should be able to remember because it's exactly the same wording that's on the Ghostbusters department before they get kicked out of the college. But it, yeah,
Institute
it's
paranormal yeah. detective work, whatever. I almost feel that
parapsychology department or something.
Like they play a better role in this movie than they did in the other one. But they also don't play as a dominant role in this movie as they did the other one.
Because we have the existence of the ghost hunter guy.
Well, like they had the existence of the ghost hunter lady in the previous movie.
Yeah, but this time he's like a TV guy.
Yeah.
And so he kind of takes over once he shows up and the daughter's like, TV guy. Now, this guy played the captain of the boat that... Brad Pitt's character worked on in Benjamin Button.
Yep. He's in a lot of stuff.
And yeah, but just in like tying it to things we've done on the show, I don't think he's been in anything else that we've done on the show, but yeah, he's been in a lot of stuff.
Well, I mean, like he's been in movies and we do movies and that's enough of a tie-in to make him cool.
But he...
He was even in Robot Chicken as a Bond villain. The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yeah.
Pompeii. The Box Trolls.
Yeah, none of these we've done, though.
Lincoln. Sherlock Holmes. As Professor James Moriarty.
Yeah, which I did not remember, but I've only seen that once. But both of those once. I mean, he is kind of the ghost hunter on the mantelpiece. Because we meet him super early, where the friend of the daughter is watching TV through FaceTime, which seems like this is totally a thing millennials would do. Like, I'm going to watch your TV through my laptop over our Apple service.
Well, you know what I think is funny? It's not just that, but I remember back when PlayStation 3 came out and there was supposed to be a function where I could be watching something, and if you had a PlayStation 3 and we were friends, we could watch it together. And I kind of thought, like, man, even today, we don't have this kind of direct function that I know of.
Well, Netflix had this it may have been on other platforms too, but I remember it specifically being on Xbox 360 up through, like, mid 2010 or so. It was only there for a year or so, where you could have two people in an Xbox Live party, or at least maybe more than two people, but at least two people, because otherwise it's just you, and so what are you doing in a party? And then you could both load up the Netflix app and it would put you together and it would sync, and so like one of you would control it, and so you could watch something together and like hear and talk to each other as if you were watching it in the same place, even though you were in different places. And then they took it away and they've never put it back, and they've never put it back anywhere else. And it's a neat thing. And I don't know what the reason to do away with it was, because it did work. I used it a few times with my brother, but it after like when once when he was still in Texas and I was in Florida for college, and it was a neat thing, and it's disappointing that it's not... It feels like it should come back as, like, a VR thing, probably. Now yeah. that you can, like, watch Netflix in VR, which
Why?
I don't have particular interest in. But I understand there are circumstances in which it's valid, you know, living in tiny houses and things, or apartments where you have tiny televisions and you can make yourself feel like you're sitting in front of a large TV or in front of a theater screen or these kinds of things. But adding the, like, people are there with you thing seems like a natural progression of that.
Yeah.
And so maybe it'll come back. I don't know that it has yet. Maybe it has, and I just don't know.
Well, like, that was one of the things is, like, me and one of my friends, we were watching these shows that, like, there would be, like, season one would be on Netflix. And, like, that was what we would do is, we'd watch, like, an episode, and if someone started before the other one, like, you'd never know. And, like, I'd be, like, trying to send a text message, be like, hey, what do you think about that? And he's like, I haven't even got to that part yet.
I'm like, what do you mean? Like, we were supposed to have started at the same, you know, like, oh, yeah, I'm like 4 minutes behind. Like, well, oops.
Yeah. Well, big once, oof. After they took it away, like, we were already in the, like, me and my brother, we were already in the middle of watching the last season of, rewatching the last season of Sliders, which we had in the fifth season because it was, like, totally unavailable for years. They didn't put it out on DVD until, like, 5 years after they did the fourth season. And so we hadn't seen it since it was on, which was in, like, 2003. And so we were watching it because suddenly it was on Netflix and that was the only way to get it. It is on DVD now. It came out a few years ago and then it was a very low print run and sold out immediately and then became expensive and just kind of hard to find. But like I do have it now, but it was on, like they put the whole thing on Netflix. And so it, like all five seasons. So we were watching that together and then they took away the party watch thing, but we weren't done yet. And so we just kept doing it anyway. Like, we would just join a party and we would just, like, you know, count off to sync it up and then just not stop it. Or if we had to stop it, like, count into pausing it and then count back into unpausing it. And so, like, we still did it and still kept it synced, but it was a lot more trouble than it was when it was an automatic function of the service.
Now, before anyone is like, Matt, they have this. Like, listen.
This is in 2010. Just yeah. For context. So it's like, a long time. It's almost 10 years ago.
I know that Discord has a screen share function. But that's not the same thing. That is you literally watching my screen, not me and you watching the same thing.
Yeah, and then that's via, you're introducing latency. That's what they're doing right here. You want it to be, the only thing you want latency on is the voice. You don't want it to be on the video and the sound.
But granted, she probably has no idea what she's actually doing.
No, I don't even
and
know
what, if even that's know what how they want doing. To watch that kind of show, I'm no one's ever invited me to watch that show or anything like it through FaceTime or anything like that.
I've never even used FaceTime.
Me neither.
I've never had an
iPhone. I ain't that pretty to look at, so I ain't worried about using it. But I thought that was an interesting way of introducing the character, but it was also super obvious. I was like, oh, so they're replacing that old lady with this guy. All right. Well, at least it's an actor I like.
But he's fake. Except he's not fake. Because, like, he did apparently do some real stuff, but then he's just been doing, like, the stuff he does on TV is fake.
Yeah.
But then every now and then something real comes along.
Which I'm okay with, because at least he's self-aware. It's like, no, a lot of these places aren't actually haunted, but, you know, I need to get paid. And if something really does happen, I'm on it. And so, like, I will forgive him for that. It's not like he just believes that all these places are haunted, and then something real happens, and then he loses his shit because, oh, my God, it's actually haunted. I can't believe it. Like, nah. Like, he's in the deep.
Yeah.
But he's still got to get paid.
He's not Gilderoy Lockhart. Like, it's not like he's never done anything and he stole all of it. Like, he has done a few real things, and, like, the leg thing seems to have been a real thing that actually happened to him, but that's just been a while back.
Wait a minute. What was the face thing?
Oh, we're going to talk about the face thing.
Because that's one of those things where, like, I wanted to remember it, but now I can't seem to remember the
damn thing. Okay, so we'll go ahead and talk about the face thing, because the face thing is blame the sound department.
Oh, what happened?
And, like, that was, I was not, you know, as a sound guy, I didn't appreciate very much the supposed humor of that, which is that they were doing an overnight shoot in a supposedly haunted car wash, and the sound guy fell asleep, and he had a really big boom and a really big microphone on the boom, and when he fell asleep, of course he didn't continue to hold the boom, and the microphone hit him in the face, and that's where the scar came from. Like, come on, really?
That's why I don't remember it. It's because, like, it's bullshit.
It is, like, you're gonna blame, like, if you've never worked on a film, like, blaming sound for everything when, you know, camera can do whatever they want because they're the artists, because they're making the, you know, it's what you see. It's the picture. It's the art. It's like painting with light and stuff. Even though, unless you're making a silent film, sound is really important, too. And people subconsciously recognize when sound is poor in a film and they don't know why it is that they don't like it, but they know that something is wrong.
That's a real thing. You can look it up.
You can. And so don't blame sound. It's not like they're trying to.
That's actually, see, like, I don't know. Maybe that's why I didn't even recognize it. It's just like,
because it's so bogus. Well,
yeah, it's just like, whatever. Get that out of my face.
So we have to deal with a couple of things. One of which is chicken nugget pizza.
I'm okay with it. Like, they're not even fried. Like, she baked them.
She
so
did bake. Yeah, they still have crust and stuff. But, you know, I guess I mean, we get, like, the pizza, and it has kind of, like, chickeny bits on it, doesn't it?
No.
Something we have had it does, though. Doesn't have, like, we had something with breaded chickeny bits on it.
I mean, like, we've probably had something in the past, but,
yeah,
like,
something in the past.
Like, the pizzas don't have chicken.
They don't have chicken.
No, it's, like, pepperoni, Italian sausage, and, like, bacon, and then beef pieces. But I'm okay with chicken.
He is really careful about, like, because, of course, it's not attached or, like, under an extra layer of cheese or anything.
Yeah.
But he does kind of, like, grab the chicken nugget and make sure that he gets a bite of it as he bites into the pizza. So, like, he's really having chicken nugget pizza.
Well, like, the kid didn't like it. And I'm like, no. How do you not like it's pizza and chicken nuggets?
I mean,
like, what that one video clip of, like, the super, like, really good chef or whatever. And he, like, blends the chicken up, and he's just like, all right, that's how chicken nuggets are made, kids. You want to eat this? And they're, like, all super excited, and you need to see the dread in his face. I'm like, well, one, this is going to be the most premium chicken nugget they've ever had. So, of course, they want this chicken nugget. But, like, at the same
pepper
time,
crusted.
Like, chicken nuggets. It's just like, don't, come on. It's just a chicken nugget, all right? It's not like it's made of, like, concentrated poison.
No.
Unless you're PETA, and then any eating animal is already going to be bad, but I don't want to converse with you.
I mean, I'm not a giant fan of chicken nuggets, especially, but
I'm more of a chicken strips kind of guy.
I would rather have chicken strips than nuggets.
And it's not about the white meat or the blended meat. It's
no.
just like it's
I mean,
just
it,
like the size and being able to grab and do the dip, and it take more than one bite to eat it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing about chicken nuggets is not the chicken part, it's the bread part. Like, I don't like that, like, crumbly. I'd rather have, like, a crust, like a real breading.
Well, like, some of the chicken nuggets, and, like it's stuff. Not so bad, it's just, like, the quality. Like, there's some that's so piss poor quality that it, like, that's really, it feels like it's chicken wrapped in sawdust.
It does, and I hate those.
Yeah,
I don't,
and then, like,
I don't
like there are some that are okay, it's just most of them are not good. And that's why they're cheap, and you feed them to kids.
So, about the paranormal people, what we learn is that the afterlife is a flat circle, in very much the same kind of scene that we learn that time is a flat circle, with, like, the same drawing and everything. They don't fold it, but they put one behind the other, but it's so much the same. Like, this is really, really silly. I don't care for this. I guess it's kind of effective in explaining what they mean, but it also doesn't mean that it's, like, right there, just because it's right there.
Yeah. Well, let's see here. I'm trying to... I have a lot of disappointments with this movie, so it is... It's kind of difficult for me to remember all the things that I want to talk about, because I'm like, wait a minute, did this happen?
Yeah,
or did my
not.
Brain just make this up to, like, appease myself? Like, all right, calm down. None of the weird vision-y stuff happened to the paranormal people, did it? Because the only thing I remember is the dad going to drink whiskey, pouring it in the cup, drinking it, and then going, and then up-chucking in the sink, and then, like, stuff came out of his, like, eyes and mouth.
Yeah.
And, like, that's all I remember.
It was very...
Dead.
Yeah. And I would say around the point where the paranormal people start moving into the house to, like, set up equipment, that's where my enjoyment of the movie went up, because I felt like there was more progression. Like, hey, things are actually happening.
That was your Al Pacino EKG.
Yeah, like that was. I was like, hey, look, there's nothing in the closet, and then it's just ring, and I'm just like, well, just bend your head, you doofus.
Didn't it seem like he couldn't though? Like he was being held against the wall by forces.
Like what it looked like is his arm was being held onto, and he was pulling him. But he could still move, like, the rest of his body, because we see him lean forward.
Guess so.
And I'm like, bruh, stop it. But I remember in the original, it's like the guy going to eat like a meal in the middle of the night, and then he has like the thing, and then he thinks his face is rotting off and all that. And I'm like, I don't remember anything happening to them, just the dad.
Yeah, I don't think so. Because something happens to, I guess, all of the kids except for the youngest daughter.
Yeah.
Because she thinks it's all just fine.
And I
don't think anything happens to the mom, really. Because thing is that this movie is 30 minutes shorter than the original one. So all of the, like, the mom is at home while no one else is, and weird things happen in the kitchen that then she has to show the dad when he gets home. Like, we don't have time for any of that.
No, that's
not. None of that's here. So not very much of the vision-y stuff happens. Because, like, the tree attacking is not a vision. The tree is attacking. Like, the roof gets smashed in and stuff. Like, that's real.
Oh, yeah.
And we're not sure about the basement swampy arm coming out of the dirt thing, because we never go back and see if it's still there. But
we don't have the pool scene with the dead bodies.
Yeah, we don't have the pool scene, and we don't have the, like, flood of everything at the end when it's all going down the house. We do see the house kind of go up, but it's not the same. And there's not as much. Now, there is, I feel like, the most intensity that there is in any of this is towards the end when they're doing the final kind of, we're going to throw the rope in and try some stuff. Like, there is some intensity and suspense to some of that. But it's less so, even as less so as I remember feeling like the most of what happened in the original one was. It still feels like this is even less so, or more less so, I guess, because less so would be more so. So it's not more so, it's less so. But there are fewer of those incident kind of things. There's much less to be scared of. The only person that even sees anything to be scared of before the daughter disappears is the son, and he's so scared of anything anyway that it doesn't seem to, like, nobody's concerned.
I still can't get over the stupid clown doll thing. Like,
the clown doll,
like,
thing, yeah.
Bro, like, you are larger, you are heavier, and unless this thing has just, like, super demon strength.
Which it doesn't seem to.
You should be able to, like, easily crush its head against the ground, because he does break it.
He does break it. It doesn't stop it, really, when he breaks it. It still keeps trying.
No, like, I could brag, man.
Actively dragging him to hell or anything.
Bro,
though,
you shove my 7-year-old ass in there, and I would have, like, I would have ragdolled that thing just out of spite. Like, Bethesda physics have nothing on what I would have done to it. Like, it's like pitter-pattering, and he's, like, doing the flashlight. Now, okay, try this. Whenever you're outside, it's the night, you have a flashlight, especially if it's dark. If, you know, you want the sun to be completely down. Take it, and then really swiftly, like, swing it back and forth, like, in just a few degrees. Like, it doesn't have to be a lot, just a little bit. And you'll notice that even though it's a beam, it will spread out, and you can see things easier that way. And he's just there, and he's just pointing. And then you hear, and he points somewhere else. And we literally see it stop moving while it's on the light, and I'm like, bruh.
We actually see it, like, it was moving just before we got there, so there's, like, just the last little bit of, like, flopping down motion.
Like, bruh, it is go time. Like, no. Like, I don't even like this clown. This clown is not mine. It is in my room for some reason just because I'm in the attic. What is this? No, it is getting, like, it is WWE over here. Or back in my day, it'd be WWF.
Yeah, then we got sued by the panda people. not that we're part of the WWF.
Yeah,
but, like,
God, if we were, we would have money.
Got sued. Yes. We're not actually doing work.
We're using money and investing more money to make more money to invest in to make more money and repeat this infinitely.
For money, Mr. Krabs.
But we're not.
Money.
But it's just like, I just can't get over those kinds of scenes. Like,
well, the thing is that he doesn't have either fight or flight. He has kind of a, like, freeze and get killed kind of thing about him.
Yeah.
Where he doesn't, he's not, like, he's dead evolutionarily. Like, he's just dead. Like, he just sits there and gets killed by stuff. Like, he does, every now and then, if it's not too hard, he does run away and complain that something scary happened to him. But it's never when he's being, like, drug across the ground by an evil clown doll. It's just after everything is over, kind of. And if he was really going to get killed, it would have happened.
And, like, the tree itself, like, it pulled
him
out of his
room. Yeah, he lays there on the bed while the tree busts and busts and busts and then gets in and then rips him out of the house. So,
yeah.
He should be out.
Yeah. Like,
sure,
once it's hitting
the tree
that hard.
Trying to bust in the window, whether it's a storm or actual evil, is not the most pleasant thing and could probably be frightening if you're young and it's dark and it's a storm and stuff. And so maybe leave the room before it gets as bad. Because even if it's not evil and you're not that scared, it might eventually break the skylight and that would not be good to be underneath. So
and he was underneath when it broke and it's like,
He does have the presence of mind to be like, I'm a scream. No, wait. Glass is coming down. I'm going to cover my face. So he does have a slight bit of thought and a little bit of self-protection in him. It's just not nearly enough.
And how easy it would have been. Now, I'm not going to blame him for this because this is, like, super freaky. But, like, when the portal thing's opening and, like, the sister is, like, trying to hide in the stuffed animals.
Yeah.
And all she had to do was crawl across the bed. Like, you don't have to walk around it. Just, like, hop onto it, bounce right over because it's going to be springy, and then just right there's the door. Right there's the door. We can see him. He's looking directly at her from across the bed. Just do it. If you got to go over there and grab her, just do it. It's going to be a hell of a lot easier than having to follow a rope into the demon afterlife portal realm.
Yeah.
Look at, see? Save you some hassle. Him going downstairs. I don't even remember the event that caused him to go downstairs. Dad, that's really nice, son. You're not even listening. No, I'm not, because you panic at everything.
Yeah, he has a bit of a crying wolf kind
of
problem.
Yeah, like, listen, brah. Listen. Like, prioritize some things.
So, there was one moment where I was like, oh! Like, I, like, actively jumped that wasn't just a, like, heavy music sting. Even though there was a heavy music sting accompanying it, that wasn't the part that bothered me. When he goes to the closet and the daughter is in the closet, but she's, like, turned around and in the corner, and then she turns around and her face is, like, kind of stretchy and weird, like, that made me jump. Like, that was kind of freaky.
Deformed humans.
That was the scariest. That's the scariest moment in the movie. And it's one of only two things that were even sort of frightening at all. So it's not like it's a, I guess, that high an accolade. But it was like, oh, man, like, whoa, that was something. The other one is when she gets, like, she's sitting there below the stairs, and then she gets, like, yanked up in an unnatural manner. Like, that was the closest other thing to being actually scary. Now, if other Tyler was here, that probably would have bothered him a lot more because he has this, like, unnatural body movement thing that freaks him out and things, which I feel like he's discussed on the show, so I don't think I'm, like, giving something away there.
The wife! The wife I was just remembering the stuff because I was thinking, oh, yeah, like, the things and the weird stuff that happens to people, and then the stuff, and then, like, the wife goes to, like, touch him from behind. But it's the weirdest thing.
Oh, it is weird. It,
like,
makes no sense.
How?
It's only there. No one, no human would stack books like this. Like, it's like, no wife reaches for their husband like this. Like, it makes no sense except that we're supposed to be creeped out by it.
Like, unless your wife is, like, really, really tall.
Which she isn't.
In comparison to at least you, like, if you're, like, 3 foot and she's, like, 5 foot, maybe.
What is this couple you're imagining?
Maybe.
Here?
Hey. There's people out there.
I know there are people,
judging,
but
I ain't judging. But it's just like the way that she, like, puts her hand, and it's just like, and then it, like, curves back up like it's gonna choke him, and then he panics and turns around, and then she's just right there, not doing anything weird. It's like, what is this?
Yeah, like, even if he wasn't having a whiskey freak out mind vision thing, like, it is like a creepy thing that she does to him, and it makes no sense why. It's not okay.
Wait, we didn't even have, like, the demon spirit thing coming out of the hole afterwards, did we?
No, not really. Well, okay, so
I'm trying to remember all the stuff that was there.
There is something that happens that isn't in the movie. So there's an alternate ending. It's on the DVD. Now, apparently, the Blu-ray version of this, we watched a DVD of this. Because We did not own this movie before. We had not seen this movie before. This is the copy that I managed to find in order for us to do this. It was a DVD. Apparently, on the Blu-ray edition, there is, instead of being a 93-minute cut, which is what this is, there is a 101-minute cut, which is still 10 minutes shorter than the original one. But this, so there's a longer version of this. There are no deleted scenes or anything on the DVD, except there is what is titled as an alternate ending, in which what happens is, rather than, like, he escapes from the house, or, like, they pick him up at the house, like, that happens the same. And then we see them driving off, like, immediately after. And so instead of, like, skipping to, we see them trying out a new house, and then I guess we're supposed to presume that the daughter is, like, she has the talking to spirits gift thing, and so she's like, something's here, and then they get out. That what happens is they're just driving down the road, and then her phone starts to, like, the oldest daughter's phone, the new phone, starts to, like, poltergeisty freak out again. And she's like, what's this? And she hands it to the dad, and he throws it out the window, and it lays there on the ground, and they drive away. And then the camera comes in from overhead and zooms in close on it, and it's still being, like, glitchy and poltergeisty weird, but enough of it gets through that we know it's the friend on FaceTime from earlier. And she says, what's happening? Like, and says the daughter's name, which I can't remember now. And so we're supposed to presume, I guess, that it, like, traveled through the phone or something, and she's being haunted now instead. And that's totally bogus, and I'm glad that it's not there. But there is this,
that's
like,
dumb
extra continuation thing that was supposed to happen.
That's, like, super dumb.
It is super dumb, and I'm really glad it's not there, that they thought better of themselves. But I do wonder what's in this, like, extra 8 minutes that we don't have here. Probably not anything that important.
What?
Now, if they had done that, it wouldn't be totally without, like, presaging it, because they did show really earlier that there's, like, the blue poltergeist energy on the, like, power lines. And so I guess it's like, oh, it can be transmitted to other places. Although that kind of breaks the, it's here because
cemetery. It's on,
yeah, because yeah. Cemetery. Now, also, we have to talk about the main only other major thing that I have. They do the line. She says they're here. Now, she doesn't say they're here. She just says they're here, and she kind of downplays it. Which, you know, doing a recreation of an iconic line is always something that's difficult. You know, each successive James Bond has the problem of doing the name for the first time. And in some cases, they play it up, and in some cases, they play it down. The first time Timothy Dalton says it in Living Daylights, it's very thrown away, which he says he wanted to just throw it away deliberately. And that's the kind of feeling that it is here, where instead of it being, like, a moment, it's just a thing that she says.
Yeah. Especially because we don't have a lot of that her and ghost interaction that the movie kind of builds on. So I myself didn't mind, because I felt like it wasn't as important. Like, they had to have it because it is poltergeist, but it wasn't, like, the end-all be-all. This is the most important scene of the movie. You make it or break it.
No, I mean, and actually, I said, like, way, way earlier than never actually finished it, that they have a little bit of a problem in that they still want to have things come through the TV, but there's no, like, the first one is early enough that TV still went off the air, or you could, like, reasonably believe that you had at least a TV channel that went off the air, and that doesn't happen anymore. It's really hard to see white noise on a modern television. You have to actually have it connected to an antenna and put it on a channel that there's nothing on, which is harder to do with digital tuners than it was with analog tuners.
Because now it's just like, oh yeah, this channel doesn't exist, just dead.
Yeah, it's just, like, it's black. There's just nothing. There's an absence of signal. There's no snow anymore. And so having this just, like, blankness that stuff can come through, and because it's not just black and, like, weird stuff, you know, a hand kind of comes through the black. It still is this, like, weird staticky thing, but it's much harder to justify in modern times than it was at the time in the early 80s originally. And they have a touch of the technology, like the phones and stuff, so they make it not just about the TV like they did before, but it's still, it's not quite the, like, oh, it's in the TV when there's nothing on the TV thing, because they keep falling asleep in front of the TV in the original one.
Well, I'm not really sure what to call it, but my first thought would be, like, digital distortion. Like how the, if you can tell there's nothing wrong with the TV, but the signal is bad for some reason. Like it's not processing correctly. Kind of like whenever you're playing a video game and the game glitches. Mm. Like, you know, it's not the TV's fault. It's just presenting what's shown, but whatever is being shown has just been messed up. And like, it, that's what it kind of feels like. And I'm okay with that look.
It's not your TV's fault that Bethesda's games don't work.
Yeah, well, don't I don't blame my 300 plus mods. Stop it. Like all the spiders are now Spider-Man. But I'm okay with it. I just don't like the hand touching the screen kind of thing. It's difficult for me to explain. I just don't like looking at it like that. I keep thinking that if you touch the screen, you should see warp. And if you see warp, then wouldn't that mess up what you're supposed to be seeing on the other side of it?
Yeah, I guess.
Because, you know, like, yeah, like, I would recommend not doing it on a TV that you
care
actively
about.
Yeah, that you care about. But, you know, like, you can take, like, older TVs, older LCD, some of the LEDs now, just and apply gentle pressure to the screen, and you'll notice that there's, like, a color wave that expands from the pressure point.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't take very much. So unless you're like very, like you're almost not even touching the TV, like you've just made contact, but there's no pressure past that contact. Like once you do that, you should see a warp. And
maybe they have a plasma.
Even with the plasma, it'll still do it. It's just, that's a really heavy TV. And like, unless it's a plasma with, like, a heavy glass screen that's protecting it.
Yeah, well, typically, they were, because plasma is self-emissive. It doesn't have, like, the reason you get the color distortion on an LCD is that it's just, there's just a light behind it, and there's, like, a three-layer LCD layer that's, like, switching on and, like, opening pixels so that color filters can show through. And because there's only one color of light behind it, either LED or in some cases just fluorescent and like cheap edge lit ones and early ones that are even not that are center lit. And a plasma is like there's actually three little things of like gas that emit a particular color when energized by electricity. And like that's why you get better color on a plasma than you did on LED LCDs. Just because, like, it's actually it's physically making the color in three different, and so it's actually additive color rather than subtractive color or filter color the way that other TV technologies are. The closest other thing that we have to that now is maybe OLED and maybe quantum dots whenever they get them out to be actually self-emissive rather than a filter layer the way that they are now. Don't believe your TV commercials. There's no such thing as quantum dots yet. That are self-emissive. It's not really better. It's basically an LCD. It's basically an LED LCD. It's an LED quantum dot filter layer instead of an LCD filter layer. It's really late to have a plasma, though, because they stopped making them, like,
yeah,
several years ago now, which is, you know, kind of unfortunate, but they, you know, it is an older technology and people don't really care that much, unfortunately. But you should have something, except it's a magic TV now, because there's, like, the afterlife on the other side of it, so. Although there is light, like, I like the shot where they, like, pan around the back and we see the, like, the ghosty light coming through the vents on the back side of it. I did like that. I like what they do with light a lot of times in this, except when it's, like, dark and hard to see. I liked when all of the light left the light bulbs and then traveled off into the void, and that's what made the girl follow into the closet. Like, that was kind of a neat effect and sequence.
How do you feel about actually going into the void?
Well, I mean, I like that the son goes into the void because he does feel like it's his fault and he kind of gets himself together enough to actually do something.
I'll agree with that.
I appreciate that. I don't know. I feel like
I don't know whether
I can trust a robot. I like the drone, but I also think, like, so radio works through the, like, I mean, I know that the afterlife is a flat circle and it's right there, but I'm not really sure. Like, it's really hard to keep a wireless signal of any kind, like, three rooms away.
Well,
through, like, a different plane of existence. So,
well, so many movies are essentially a product of their time.
Yeah.
And this screams, hey, look.
Drones.
Drones are now more affordable for you to buy for your family. Like, that's really what it feels like. Like, it's not like a super DJI Phantom 2 or something. It's like, no, it looks like one of those cheap drones that you'd buy for like $100. And it's just like, here you go, sport, have fun. Like, that's really what it feels like. Like, oh, we're gonna traverse this dangerous territory with a drone first so we can see how creepy it is inside. The walls are made of people looking things.
Yeah.
And she's just standing there. And
I guess there is a portal. So it's like portal goes in, portal goes out. Like, it's right there. It's kind of confined. You know, they send like a robot with a camera on it through the Stargate and like check out what's over there. And like, it's a bad fuzzy signal, but you can kind of see a little bit. And so I guess maybe it's justified by pre-existing other fiction.
We'll see.
That it works, but
it's not so much that I feel like going in and actually being able to see it kind of takes away from like the horror and the mystery.
You just say
it.
There's no up, there's no down, there's no straight lines, but then it's basically like just a model of the house on the other side, just
with
like some creepiness, walls made of
body
people.
Parts.
Yeah.
So,
and like, there is up and down and lines and stuff.
And like, she is just standing there. It's not like she's floating or anything. But I would say the house design made of the body parts and it's moving and you can see like things rise up from it. From the horror perspective, I like that that's how they went about showing us.
Yeah.
But because you can simply just walk on it because she's doing it and he has to go save her and all this other kind of business. Like, what we see as the people interact with it kind of removes that horror element. So now I'm not as, like, spooked by it, where it's just like, oh, this is really creepy compared to, hey, that kid's just walking on it and that kid over there is standing by it. And then, yeah, it's like the zombie body people are there and just, you know, just grab and get out.
Well, that is a problem that I had with the new Jumanji movie, where, like, now, like, they go into it instead of being an ancient voodoo board game or something. It's a video game and they're like in it and then they have lives and like things happen and then they can get out. And like, I did enjoy the movie sort of, but I hated that it was a Jumanji universe movie because like when what turns out to be adult Robin Williams, because at all this time has passed, gets sucked into the game and in the jungle, you must wait until the dice read 5 or 8. Like, he was in like an endless, like darkest, deepest, most like dangerous rainforest jungle place that you could have, because it was like it was just a magical thing that was contained within the game, but it was a real thing for him while he was there. And you know, you could just walk forever and there was always just jungle, and you know, when it was dark, scary things were out there in the distance and you didn't know what they were, and you had to use banana leaves instead of toilet paper. And then taking that like absoluteness away from it damaged the impact of the, like, this Jumanji thing is like serious evil business. And seeing it in the first place before they go there, I think, is kind of like that here, where it's like, oh, well, it kind of like looks like the house and you can't really see the body parts thing until they're there. And then even though we do see it once they're there for a little bit, it's not as, like, on the other side, things are weird, that it might have been. And so it's not, it doesn't quite, like, there wasn't anything that was actually really actively scary on the other side. And there could have been. But there wasn't because of choices that were made.
Yep.
So how do you feel about stars?
2.
2 stars. I know I say this a lot, but this is hard for me because, like, I don't think that it's very good. But I like Sam Rockwell as a dad. There's, like, a scary moment here or there. I like the sort of intensity that there is at the end, but there isn't really that much of it. And I like the Ghost Hunter guy.
Yeah.
But I feel, I mean, I don't remember what I gave the original one. It couldn't have been more than 3. And we've spent a long time already saying that this one is lesser than, even though we also say commonly that we don't compare things. But when it's like, this is the same thing, like it feels like that kind of accepts itself from the rules where it's like, we made this thing again. You can't help but compare it. It doesn't seem, yeah. It almost seems unfair to not compare it because that pre-exists. And, you know, maybe if we'd never done it on the show, maybe it wouldn't be as fair because we couldn't talk about it as openly.
Well, maybe if we had seen this one first.
Maybe, which maybe is what people do. You know, but I guess that's maybe the point that other the people, maybe you just like, oh, you see this because the other one was like 35 years ago. And so here's this one right here.
Well, I can understand a little bit because there are times where I won't read a book because I know they're going to make a movie out of it. And I want to watch the movie first because I know if I read the book first and then watch the movie, I'll hate the movie. And so, like,
sometimes I do that and sometimes I go the other way. Sometimes, like, oh, there's a movie coming out. I better hurry up and read the book because, like, it's something that I should have already read by now. Because,
like, I want to give the movie a fair chance because I understand the complexity of having to take a huge book and turn it into a film. And I don't want to be like, oh, well, it didn't include this and it didn't include that, so it's inherently not good. Like, no, I want to give it that fair shot. But this is one of those situations where they're both movies. You could almost just lay one right on top of the other. And yeah, this one's just not as good. So I'm giving it a 2.
I guess I'll give it a 2 also. There's not a whole lot here.
Like, the only thing that I thought was of any kind of redemption is the dad drinking whiskey and then immediately freaking out because stuff's happening. Yes, Jared, what is his name? Jared.
Ghost Hunter guy.
Yeah, Jared something another. This house Harris. Is clean. So clean. Him. I like him. And then I like how they actually handle the paranormal people. Like him, him talking about it taking like 7 hours for the piano to like slide 5 feet, and he had to do it like on time lapse, and then he goes to sit down, and it immediately flings the chair. Like, yeah. How's that for your time lapse? And it's just like, I like how these people are being brought into it, or, you know, it's like, is the sensor in the closet? Yeah, kind of.
Yeah,
it's there. It's not maybe not how you want it, but it's there. You know, like little stuff like that. I'm like, all right, I'm cool with this.
So what about scariness?
1. Like, there's nothing there for me to be scared of.
I can't say 1 I get. So if 1 is didn't scare me at all.
Yeah.
Then I can't say 1 because there were there was like 1 moment really where I was like, ooh. And then like another moment where I was like, oh.
Well, like, even and the tree. So
the tree, I didn't care about,
like,
the tree.
Well, like, the tree wasn't even doing, like, it just picked him up and was just holding him there for the parents to come and get him. Like, it didn't do anything.
The Whomping Willow is scarier than this tree.
The Whomping Willow kick your ass.
Yeah.
The portal thing was clean. Like, they didn't even have the demon come out of it. So, like, there was that. There was no spooky.
It's in the phone.
Yeah, the ghost things, like, traversing across, like, the rooms while everyone watches. There's none of that. Like, there wasn't even the cool zombies in the coffins, like, awaken from the mud pits of the pool. Like, there's nothing here worth being scared about.
punch the clown in the face.
So two.
Soka.
So, I like this, so I'm going to read it. Alan Schusterstuhl, who reviewed it for the Village Voice, said, Poltergeist 2015 is to Poltergeist 82 what today's shipped frozen to the store Pizza Hut dough is to the needed on-site pies the chain's stoned cooks tossed in the Reagan era. It's the same kind of thing, with the same shape and some shared ingredients, but the texture's gone limp, and there's no sense of occasion about it. And there's some unpalatable goop stuffed in the crusts. In a pinch, it beats pizzalessness, but just barely.
That's beautiful. That is absolutely beautiful. It reminds me almost of as much as them not staying at a hotel and kicking the TV out because it freaks them out.
Yeah.
Well, if you disagreed with us, let us know. Otherwise, like and subscribe.
And that's all I have to say about Poltergeist. We'll see you next time.
Later.
Get all the pancakes. Especially.
The volume is down.
That's a shitload of pancakes.
I still screwed it up. Cockatoos! There's a lot of cockatoos!